The original phone book size chart of yours here.
That is so bad.
I got a new patient in like 35, 40 minutes. And so that's probably a good time frame because we want to hold ourselves to some reasonable standard here, right?
True. On July 30th, it said, I've been on the diet 5 weeks. My tongue is healthy, no fissures and blackness. Have stopped Prilosec twice a day. No heartburn and reflux. Salivary and lymph glands in my neck at the jaw are noticeably reduced.
Oh, that's good. We weren't paying a whole lot of attention to your Sjogren's symptoms at the time.
Right.
Or anything, really.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then August 20th, I write, it's been 3 weeks since I stopped taking domperidone. My stomach is great. I've been on the no sugar, no wheat, low carb for 2 months. Off Prilosec, Miralax, domperidone, lowered oxybutynin. The rosacea on my face is gone. That gives me hope that my ocular rosacea could also get better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just thought this was a little interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the beginning here first, though.
Yeah.
So you had come in June 22nd, 2012, which we celebrated our 10-year anniversary of a few months back here then.
Right.
And so, yeah, as we discussed, your main complaints were both back pain and the carpal tunnel in your right hand. And you had done acupuncture, you told me, at some point for like 20 years prior to this, right?
I've done a lot of acupuncture.
And you always did pretty good as far as, you know, it was helpful to get you some pain relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a little different approach here when you came to see me, right? How would you describe that from the get-go?
Well, first of all, you said to me, I can help you with that carpal tunnel, but you have some serious health problems and I can help you with that. And nobody had ever really said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
They had said things like, we have a medication for that, or we have a treatment for that or something, but you just matter-of-factly said, you have serious health problems and I can help you with that.
Yeah, and that goes back to, according to my notes here from that first visit, the fibromyalgia, which you'd been diagnosed with about 15 years prior, and that involved a history of a pretty serious car accident before that.
Correct.
And then also the digestive problems that you had been diagnosed with gastroparesis 3 years prior, and then you'd also been diagnosed with Sjogren's about 6 months before this, too. And when did the digestive problems first start? That's pretty typical to go hand in hand with fibromyalgia. Was that, 15 years before this? Or was there some point that...
You know, I really don't recall until maybe a year before I was diagnosed with Sjogren's that my stomach must have, you know, kind of stopped emptying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having loads of...
Yeah. So just a few years before you came in to see me...
Correct.
...is when I documented the gastroparesis starting.
Correct.
But your rosacea, including ocular rosacea, had been, what was that, like 10 years prior?
You know, I'd have to look back on and see that, but it'll tell me in here.
Well, probably. I think you've been on the, whatever, you were on a tetracycline antibiotic.
I think it had to have been 5 to 10 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what tetracycline antibiotic were you on? Was it minocycline?
Minocycline. I took minocycline at one time and doxycycline.
Mm-hmm.
I think the doxycycline, I got pretty, I think I got pretty sensitive to light, to
even. Right. It's not a great
I think they switched me to minocycline after that.
Well, and what we went over early in that process, either the first time you came in or the first couple times you came in, is this sort of implication of gut health and gut flora with the symptoms that you'd have even before apparently the digestive symptoms started that had led to the rosacea, as there's a very high correlation, which we've known for a long time, of a small intestine bacterial overgrowth
and see, other I GI never issues. Knew about that. Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and that's typical. I mean, it's much
no
bigger.
No doctor had ever talked about that.
Yeah, well, there's much bigger and more obvious connections between diet problems and people's symptoms, too, that they don't ever hear about. And, you know, it's just, it's in conventional medicine. It's not on the flowchart, you know, and people don't hear that. The doctors don't know that. They don't have any training in it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, your history made that pretty obvious that you've had, that you had some probably some gut health issues that you didn't, you know, that didn't, you didn't really experience a lot of GI symptoms with them per se, but the rosacea symptoms implied that, and the antibiotic use seems to be related to that. The fact that it helps with those symptoms is probably because of its effect on your gut flora. But the known side effects, which are fairly high of long-term use of tetraene cycling antibiotics, are autoimmune problems such as lupus, or in your case, Sjogren's, which is a close relative of lupus. And so that whole history kind of shows us, you know, what the development of these problems were and how they were complicated by some of those things, right? So anyway, that's what we kind of went over kind of early in the process. And it's always an important strategy to pitch short-term goals rather than, hey, we're going to go down a pretty serious rabbit hole here and this is going to take a while. Are you sure you're prepared for that?
Well, told me to try this diet for 3 weeks.
Right. And then
so
you,
it's been 10 years.
Yeah, you had told me, right. You had told me, you teased me for a while how that when we made it to 3 weeks, well, we're just going to go another week or two, you know. But anyways, it was about, I remember at the time, it took, I think, about 5-6 weeks, and as you were just reading from your journal, for that to kind of even out, you go off the domperidone, which you'd had to get from Canada, because it was not available in the U.S., and that's the only thing that was helping you with the gastric emptying of gastroparesis. But it was at that point that things kind of evened out, and your digestion was pretty good, you know, for the diet that we were on, which was a pretty strict low-carb diet is what we were working with, for its effect on your gut flora. And being off of the domperidone, but still on the antibiotic. So everything had worked itself out that you'd made some pretty good progress with that. And then at the time, that was the point in my recollection that, you know, you'd kind of seen for yourself as you were on the right track. And I didn't need to string you along too much of just saying, oh, maybe another week here, right? So.
Well, you know, July 30th. When I'd been in it for five weeks, I was all in, you can mm-hmm. see. You know, no heartburn, no reflux. Salivary glands have settled down, you know, that mm-hmm. they decrease
yep.
in size, all that kind of stuff. My tongue.
Yeah.
All of that. So I was pretty in.
Yeah, and that, you know, as that process, because we're working on the underlying problem, we're ignoring your back pain. We're ignoring your carpal tunnel. We're ignoring the Sjogren's and the salivary glands. I mean, I don't know. We might have probably talked about it then. I don't remember. It was 10 years ago. But you might have told me then that, you know, that was improving too. But it's just kind of irrelevant with, you know, the obvious underlying problems of gut health and just all the malnutrition symptoms that you presented with that are just going to lead to all these problems and all this tendinitis that your body's not going to heal. Excuse me, when it doesn't have the nutrients in your bloodstream and it's not going to, and you're going to see that lack of circulation to your extremities, that, you know, any patient I see like that, they're going to have some combination besides their digestive symptoms, besides fibromyalgia or autoimmune symptoms, they're going to have a lot of symptoms at their extremity. They're going to have cold hands and feet. They're going to have carpal tunnel or plantar fasciitis or trigger finger or Duprin's. You know, and you had some of those symptoms too with the trigger finger.
All
the,
of that, yeah.
The Duprin's, you know, and
right
some of that,
at the
right?
same time.
So
yeah.
So, but then you know, the solution has to be kind of clear. Like, well, we got to fix your gut. We got to fix your diet. We got to eat different food and get your gut and your gut flora adapted to that. Right. That's what that whole process was for. And so, you know, when you made some pretty good early progress with that, then we just, you know, soldiered on, and you were coming then probably, I think you were doing twice a week. And we did that for 3 weeks in a row, and then you take a week off. That was the treatment plan that we kind of followed then. Yeah. And you could kind of gauge the symptom that we were then really paying attention to as a marker for your gut health was the rosacea and the ocular rosacea. So as you just said, the symptoms in your cheeks had improved. But you could, I think, feel some of the symptoms in your eyes or the grittiness there. So you were on the antibiotics, and then we'd made enough progress at about 6 months is what it took, that's when we were feeling more confident, and you decided to start weaning off your antibiotic. That's always like a problem for me or any other acupuncturist, that we're treating symptoms that people are on medications for. But it's not in our scope of practice to tell the people whether they should take the medications or not. And ideally, you would have a doctor to go and monitor the symptoms and help you with that process. However, when you go and have this conversation with them and explain what we're doing, they have no idea what we're talking about. And so even the doctors that want to be helpful, they don't have any kind of way of understanding the process or what we're doing or what they should do to help with that process, even if they want to, you know, help you get off the medication. So that's always a kind of difficult thing. So it's always like me or any acupuncturist has to frame things very sort of carefully. The patient decides to wean off their, medication that's causing an autoimmune disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was that process then of you feeling pretty good with that and going off of it. Then you were using, I think it was, you tell me, maybe like a month, and what you had is you had some eye drops you could use.
Correct.
That you were doing better. You still had some itchiness. I don't know if I have various medication charts here for you when you started that were
okay. I have another something that I want to read to you.
Mm-hmm.
This was November 29th of 2012. So that,
mm-hmm.
5 months after. I went to Dr. Sadowski for my eye exam and showed little change in my eyes. It's been about 2 months without my antibiotic for the rosacea. Dr. Sadowski was very interested in my diet used to control the rosacea. The pterygium, which is the scar tissue in my eyes, was no larger than it had been last year. So that was unusual because it had been growing every year.
Yeah. Well, and the point is, too, is that when you're talking to a doctor about these symptoms and they can look at the antibiotic and say, well, we know it's not great to be on antibiotics long term, mm-hmm. whether they understand why or not. The trade-off is losing your vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms like this that develop with ocular rosacea. That's what you have to choose from, and that's why that you were on that to begin with. So
he started eating like I eat.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So at that point then what were the eye drops? Was that
I have a prednisone, a sulfa, it's called Predmild or Predsulfa, that I can use for inflammation, which I still use occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not very often.
Yeah. How often, and jumping ahead here 10 years later, how often have you needed any prednisone eye drops? How often have you done that?
I would say maybe every 3 months. I might use it for one time, or I might use it for maybe 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Do you...
So, pretty rare.
Yeah. Do you have a... is it just how your eyes feel, or do you know why you would have a little itchy eyes or something at the time?
Will it correlate to stress or diet? It isn't itchy. It feels grainy, sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has to do with that scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but and you've seen this eye doctor in the meantime, so they're able to monitor that, and
right.
obviously things have been pretty stable.
Right.
Have you ever tried, just curiosity, antihistamine eye drops if you're ever having any kind of sensation like that?
I haven't.
Yeah, I'd be curious. This is why I tell you, talk to your eye doctor about that, or your pharmacist, or somebody else who can tell you that.
Huh.
so, Okay, well, anyway, so that initial program, and we're doing that, and we're weaning off things, and 6 months or so later, you do the eye drops for a while fairly regularly, and then you'd weaned off those and now done them pretty rarely since then, PRN. And so those symptoms have been pretty stable ever since then. So those symptoms, meaning the rosacea symptoms, the gut health, all of that stuff. And at that point also then, by the way, that is when we added in some of the safe carbs, as we call them, which is, so the off the antibiotics, using the eye drops to bridge that gap for a month or two, and then adding in some potatoes, and then adding in some fruit, adding in some white rice. And we try to do that in a, I've always done that in a fairly organized way. I don't have a diet chart for that process, but see how things go. And as I'm sure we've talked about, people always do great with potatoes once you sort of balance out their gut flora. They also do pretty well with fruit, though we want to be a little bit cautious with sugar there. But they do pretty well with that once we've balanced out their gut flora. Grains are always a huge issue for people that they don't recognize until they know what it's like to feel good and then see those symptoms. And white rice, usually people get away with. Sometimes they don't. I think you didn't have any trouble adding white rice back in from the beginning. Sometimes that'll mm-hmm. cause some problems, and we have to wait a little bit longer for that. But we added all that back in, and you were doing well with that. And then you were, after that point, for the most part, what I call a maintenance patient. And you probably came, you came really pretty regular. I mean, I think you stayed on the same program of, 3 weeks on, taking a week off twice a week, so 6 times a month. I mean, you did that probably for a few years, before kind
of weaning off. I did, and then I think I went down to more like 4 times a month, mm-hmm. two weeks consecutively where I came twice, mm-hmm. and then 2 weeks off.
And one thing I like to know is that I never treated you for carpal tunnel. It just went away once we fixed these other problems. And this is funny, too, because the VA has this evidence map of things that acupuncture works for according to nonsensical randomized control trials. And it's like, oh, back pain maybe, and knee pain maybe, and carpal tunnel doesn't work for that at all, right? And I mean, it's because it's one of these extremity symptoms. If you have chronic tendonitis at your extremities, you can stick needles in your extremities all day long and it's not going to happen. You don't have the blood and the nutrients to get there and to deal with that problem. And when you fix that problem, well, it turns out your body actually knows how to heal, right? So, but then the next issue that we took a lot of satisfaction with at the time is that you'd been diagnosed with the Sjogren's 6 months before this process. And I think it was about 9 months after you started, then you went back to was this an endocrinologist who had diagnosed you?
She was a specialist in Sjogren's. She, but it's in here.
And, well, you'd gone back and you'd done...
I wouldn't let her do the biopsy.
Didn't do the biopsy.
The antibody testing said I did not have Sjogren's. Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do biopsy, but you did have quite a lot of progress in the swelling, right?
Right. And definitely progress in... I can tell you her name. Do you want her name?
No, that's all right. Okay. And because you could just tell me, I mean, obviously you'd made all this progress, your antibodies are negative, right. Your neck is no longer swollen. This doctor must have been really impressed and been very curious about the diet you're on, right?
No, this doctor, first of all, I told her nurse when she was, taking my information all about this. And obviously she talked to the doctor because the doctor came in and questioned me about this. And then she said, well, what makes you think you had Sjogren's? You don't have Sjogren's. And I said to her, well, you told me a year ago that I had Sjogren's.
In her skepticism then, she had sort of confronted you on, right? And sort of, chalked this up to your thinking rather than hers, apparently. But you had your passport with you that day, right?
I did have my passport, and I showed her the picture on my passport where my face definitely looks different than it did, mm-hmm. a year later or 2 years later, however much later it was than my passport photo. I'm very jowly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had a big fat swollen neck in that picture. And I think, you know, at the time, too, when you'd started and we're doing this diet, you may remember that you were concerned about your weight because you started and you're fairly short, but you weighed at about 120 pounds at the time. And so you were concerned you didn't want to lose weight. You didn't want to lose too much weight. And so you had lost, and I told you, it's like, you know, it's typical that people will just sort of stabilize at whatever weight they're comfortable with. So it's not like people just lose weight forever, you know, on a diet like that. And so you'd lost to something like 15 pounds or something. And then once that had stabilized, you know, you were happy with that. Then I think I teased you at the time and said, I think most of that 15 pounds was in your neck. So
probably
judging by that picture. So that was that initial process. And then, like I said, you became kind of a maintenance patient afterwards. We treat you for pain sometimes when your neck especially gives you more trouble from the old whiplash symptoms, especially, or some of the trigger finger and symptoms at your extremity that you also use some judicious use of steroid injection for. And you've never been, you're never like, you're not a wildly easy patient to treat with acupuncture in that it's a little bit unpredictable how much pain relief you get, right?
It is.
As I'm being confident in what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, I don't have too much trouble, you know, when that's the case, because we're working on these kind of longer term things and we're checking in on a regular basis and we're seeing all this sort of progress that's happening, right? When we're looking at those systemic factors and those chronic health symptoms.
I find that it's not so much how much relief do I have mm-hmm. after my treatment or the day after my treatment or 2 days after my treatment, but rather when I am having acupuncture on a regular basis, I don't see so many
yep.
bad days.
Right. But, yeah. And
you know, I don't have those big highs and lows yep. swing. I'm
right.
at much more even keel. In
yeah. And this is what I've always trained the patient to pay attention to, that understanding that we're treating these underlying factors would include the nutrition status, but also include the inflammation and the systemic inflammation that you can feel in the symptoms that are typically described as fibromyalgia, as chronic fatigue, as mood or sleep symptoms, or just chronic pain or achy joints in general. So by looking at those overall factors, that's kind of where things connect with a patient, that, you know, when you can do a good explanation like that and they get an understanding of why they feel that way. And for a long time, you know, a patient who comes in with any of those symptoms, I don't know if I did this when you had started, I'll like read them that sickness behavior article on Wikipedia and they'll say, oh, that sounds like me, right? You know, it's just all your typical fibromyalgia or autoimmune symptom flare. And so then, you know, now they know what they feel like when they're inflamed and they can kind of gauge that and they can pay attention to, be it acupuncture or be it the lifestyle interventions and diet things that we're doing. And then one last thing maybe to cover is so and you do sometimes too, and you know, sometimes you say you feel great with acupuncture if you're coming in for your neck pain or your knee pain. It's just a little bit sort of unpredictable that way in the short term. But you know, so we've gone off a bunch of meds through this process. The big one was your antibiotics, and then the gastroparesis, the domperidone. There's been a few other things along the way, but then at some point I pressed you. After probably, I don't know, it was probably after 6 or 7 years. So probably 3 or 4 years ago when I was kind of saying, you know, this Ambien, Pat, that you've been on for a long time, it's not the greatest drug to be on. And maybe it's time we work on that. And you were pretty hesitant about that, right?
I was very hesitant. I have had in the past definite
yep.
sleep problems, mm-hmm. big time sleep issues,
yep.
and I felt like the Ambien really helped.
Well,
my
it's definitely going to. We know that, sleep. You know. But anyway, like at the time, I you know what I remember what I told you was like, look, let's look at the stuff we did. You know, there's no reason why we can't do that for this. And again, I have to say, oh, talk to your pharmacist and talk to your doctor and here you're on Ambien and do you want to kind of bridge the gap? Maybe you can, you know, maybe melatonin's going to help a little bit, which you can buy OTC and I can tell you to try versus, you know, what if you just took a sleep aid, either the OTC, like the Unisom, the doxylamine, or, you know, maybe you get the prescription for Visperal, which is a little stronger form of that as an antihistamine. You know, I don't remember. I think you used an antihistamine a little bit at the time, didn't you? Do you remember?
I don't think I used the antihistamine, but I did use like something with valerian root mm-hmm. and
yep.
melatonin, maybe L-theanine, mm-hmm. that type of thing, which I still use.
Yeah. But we did that, and we probably did a little bit more frequent acupuncture. I probably stuck more needles in your ears, you know, probably. Did some of the sleep points. And it wasn't super hard, right? I mean, we just kind of weaned off it, and, you know, you've done okay since.
I was so hesitant that I kept, you know, weaning down, and I actually got so that I was only taking a quarter mm-hmm. of
yeah.
the medication, and then... You know, I did that for probably 2 or 3 weeks where I yeah. took... So I did this over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Because I was so hesitant.
Well, and often...
But, you know, I yeah. did it.
Yeah,
I did and it, I often, and I'm glad
and it's for pretty, that. I do that pretty often. And honestly, it's often just because a patient gets the rug pulled out from under them because the doctor says, this is outside guidelines and I can't prescribe this anymore. It's a controlled substance. So this happens with opioid patients and they show up here 5 days into withdrawal, or, you know, I had a patient like that I treated her through her opioid dependence a few years ago, and then a few months ago she said they won't refill my benzodiazepine prescription, which is a close relative of Ambien, and I said, okay, how many you got left? We might want to cut those. And she had like five, you know, and it's like, you might want to cut those into little pieces. And talk to your pharmacist and maybe, you know, try one of the antihistamines. And she actually got a prescription for Visperal and got the OCT Unisom, tried them both. She actually said the Unisom worked better. And we did that and, you know, we just weaned her up, took like 2 weeks, you know, stuck a bunch of needles in her ear. I think she came 3 times a week. And then, yeah, she's been off that ever since, you know. She's in her, this one's in doing her mid-70s. Okay. Yeah, she's doing great. So, yeah. So anyway, so yeah, that's not a, sometimes we just have to do that involuntarily, you know? Right. Yeah, if we can wean off it slow, you know, that'll be easier. Oh, and then, so that was a pretty good summary, but then, so one last thing that, you know, I've seen some of your friends and relatives, and we don't need to mention who, because that would be, you know, revealing potentially PHI. But you have a close relative who had the same kind of history with you with digestive symptoms and ocular rosacea and fibromyalgia, and she had been on tetracycline antibiotics for several years as well, and she didn't develop Sjogren's. She developed an autoimmune skin condition, which, you know, judging by her skin and her fibromyalgia symptoms, it was probably just sort of early lupus. But at that point it was just diagnosed as the skin version of the autoimmune disease, but it was the same pretty much process for her. So we went through that same process doing a pretty strict diet. I think it also took, you know, somewhere 4, 5, 6 months. Then she's weaning off her antibiotics. And I think I don't remember. She probably did some eye drops like that for a month or two too, but it was the same process that was, you know, point is not a fluke. Just do the same thing, get, you know, got the same results, you know, that her pain, her fibromyalgia, her skin rashes went away. And the last time I talked to her, she told me that, you know, they only came back one time once, and it wasn't when, you know, she'd been off and on, you know, a better diet, and her symptoms never came back, but she was really stressed out working on, you know, maybe one of her kids' weddings or something. And then she had the skin rashes flare up for like a week or two, like a year later. But ever since then, otherwise, you know, her ocular rosacea was under control, and her autoimmune symptoms were all in remission as well. So,
true.
So, anything else to add?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, well, that was a pretty good summary.